The date was the darkest Friday in the history of the world. The place was Jerusalem. On that day, we see the following events take place. A passionate prayer, a traitorous arrest, a trumped-up charge, a false trial, a denying disciple, hands that are washed, a place called Skull. We see two thieves. We see scoffing bystanders, abusive soldiers. We see a repentant robber. We see weeping women. We don't see anything because of 3 hours of darkness. We see a dead deity, a borrowed tomb, a sealed stone. And I must ask the question, so what's so good about Good Friday? If you have your Bibles, I would like you to turn to Leviticus. It's the third book of the Bible, and I know that's probably where we have all been reading just before we sat down this morning. And when you think of Leviticus, what do you think of? Well, I usually think of regulations for mildew and leprosy and other odd laws. But after today, I hope that you change your perception about Leviticus. In chapter 16, it focuses on the Hebrew, or what the Hebrews called the Day of Atonement. And in the Jewish calendar, there are 7 major feasts. The Feast of Trumpets inaugurates 10 days of awe with the blowing of the trumpet or the shofar. The Hebrews would begin every year with repentance, fasting, and soul-searching. It's a time of deep sorrow over sin and a plea for God to remove and restore the community. This 10-day period leads up to the Day of Atonement, or what the Jewish people call Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a fascinating day full of ritual and reverence. It was rightfully has been called Good Friday of the Old Testament. So in Leviticus chapter 16, I want us to begin reading at verse 3. This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area, with a young bull for sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with the linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put the linen turban on. These are the sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. Now I want you to picture about 1.5 million people who have just finished 10 days of weeping, fasting, and praying so that they can come before God to be cleansed, to have their sins removed. Aaron, the high priest at that time, is charged with the awesome responsibility of going into the presence of God on their behalf. After washing his body and putting on the holy garments, the priest is ready to begin. He first sacrifices a bull, knowing that he himself is sinful. The high priest has to first do something to get clean before God. And he takes a bull and he applies the blood to the altar so that his own sins can be forgiven. Only then can he offer sacrifice for others. He enters the Holy of Holies with hot coals in one hand and incense in the other. And he would drop the coals on the ground and he would pour the incense over them, creating a sweet fog of fragrance. He would then sprinkle the blood of the bull on the altar, on the mercy seat. After he had atoned for himself and his family, he would offer sacrifice for the sins of the community. Let's continue reading in Leviticus 16 at verse 5. From the Israelite community, he is to take 2 male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer a bull for his own sins, offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. 1.5 million worshipers have gathered to be reminded of God's grace and of his mercy. And the high point of the day is when two goats are brought to Aaron. One of them is for sacrifice, the other is to be presented alive. One takes the punishment and the other is taken away. Why goats? There are a couple of reasons. First of all, the smell of goats symbolizes the absolute utter stench of sin to God. And secondly, most pagan religions had goat gods that they worshipped. God had the Hebrews sacrifice goats to make sure that they did not sacrifice two goats. This reminds and affirms that the Hebrews were different than the other nations around them. And in verse 20 of Leviticus, we skip down and it reads this. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He shall lay both hands on his head, or on the head of the live goat, and confess over it all the wickedness and the rebellion of the Israelites, all of their sins, and put them onto the goat's head, and he shall send that goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all the sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it into the desert. Now the high priest would take his hands and he would lay them on the goat. This is the absolute pinnacle of 10 days of mourning, fasting, and weeping over sin. Then in one symbolic act, their sins are taken care of for the past year. The priest's voice booms out over the hushed crowd. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, immorality, impurity, theft, profanity, lies. One by one, individuals in the throng hang their heads in shame. And he continues, bitterness, hatred, malice, gossip, murder, greed, lust, envy, jealousy, oath-breaking, pride. And by this time there is loud weeping. The goat itself must have been struggling under the weight of such a list of sins. And this goat, appropriately called the scapegoat, is led outside of the camp by a Gentile who had no connection with the people of Israel. You see, the Hebrew word for this scapegoat is azawazo. And this word carries with it the idea of being banished or taken away. And so the scapegoat is azazel. It's removed from their sight. And all of their collective sins were placed upon the head of this goat, and then it disappears into the desert outside of the city. In the days of Christ, the goat would have been led to a high rock about 12 miles from Jerusalem. There they would take it from that high place and they would push it off of the rock over the edge. At that point, it would die. See, a very interesting tradition went along with this event. A red cloth was tied to the horns of the goat to represent the sins of the people. A red cloth was also tied to the gate of the temple. And during the coming year, the cloth turned white. And at that point, the people could be assured of their forgiveness. I believe that Isaiah may have been thinking of this when he wrote in Isaiah chapter 1, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." See, the rabbis taught this almost 40 years before the temple was destroyed. The lot never came to the right hand. The red wool did not become white. The western light did not burn, and the gates of the temple opened themselves till the time of Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. Now, this might mean absolutely nothing to you. In fact, I'm probably certain it means nothing to you. But let me explain. You see, the Talmud teaches us that each year, when the high priest was sacrificing the sin offering as prescribed by the scriptures, the Talmud tells us that the high priest tied the red cord to the scapegoat. He also tied the cord to the door of the temple. What it says that after the scapegoat had been taken away, the red on the cord in the temple would turn white. This was a sign that God had accepted their sacrifice and forgiven their sins. But the Jewish writings tell us that 40 years before the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, the red cord suddenly stopped turning white. It means that something extraordinary must have happened around the year 30 or 33 AD. I wonder what that could have been. If we turn in our Bibles to the New Testament, to John chapter 19, Jesus is brought before a man by the name of Pilate. Pilate is a Gentile. The high priest and the teachers of the law demand that Jesus be killed. They have placed the guilt upon his head. Jesus is beaten. A crown of thorns is placed upon his head. A ring of crimson blood circles his head. Pilate, mocking the Jews, presents Jesus and says, "Here is your king." Now, without looking at your Bibles, what is the next thing the crowd says? I know that most of you are saying, "Crucify him," right? No, let's read John chapter 19, verse 14. It was the day of preparation, the Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." They yell, "Take him away." Jesus is taken outside by the Gentiles with a crowd shouting, "Azazel." And I wonder if a good Jewish guys in the crowd, the ones who knew their Torah, the ones who had seen this Azazel goat taken outside the city year after year, did they see a striking symbolism? Did they get it? Man, I'm telling you, this is getting good. Because turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And one of the things that the high priest never was allowed to do was to sit down. He couldn't sit down because his work was never done. Once this day of atonement happened, there was always next year. Why? Because the people keep on sinning. So a pattern was developed, the Feast of Trumpets, followed by 10 days of mourning about sin, followed by the Day of Atonement. Year after year, this went on and on and on. Can you understand the deep longing with the Jewish psyche for once, a once and for all sacrifice? an opportunity where they don't have to continue doing this time and time and time again. Well, in Hebrews chapter 10, it says this, starting at verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilt for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. You see, the Day of Atonement was a shadow, a symbol of a time that sins would be taken of the people, and they would be cleansed once and for all. But the reality hadn't happened yet. The reality was still coming. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, it says, the day after every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again, and he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Did you hear that? He sat down. He finished it. It is finished. Those are the words of Christ. Atonement has been made. Jesus, the Lamb of God, took our sins on himself and became the final sacrifice. Jesus, the ultimate high priest, paid for our sins, knowing that we could never pay for them ourselves. This was the end of the sacrificial system. The price has been paid. The debt has been taken care of. Say it with me today. He sat down. 700 years before Christ was born, Isaiah wrote about this sacrifice. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6 are so graphic. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul put it like this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the message. He sat down. And this morning, this is the message I want you to hear. Maybe you're beaten down. Maybe you are filled with shame and guilt. Perhaps you are paralyzed by fear that someone will find out that thing that you, well, only you know about. Someone today has failed and people have reminded you of it. Listen to me. The goat has left the building. Many people believe that you are defined by your sin, that you cannot, you just can't get a handle on it. No, you are not defined by your sin. If you have asked Jesus to be the forgiver and the leader of your life, you are being made holy. Let me tell you, God knows. He knows about abortion. He knows about lust. He knows about the breakup. He knows about every one of your sins. And he loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. God wants to give you freedom because the goat has left the building. The sacrifice, the greatest of all time sacrifice, the once and for all, forever, is Jesus. God is the freedom that comes through sacrifice. He is in the freedom business, and Jesus is the ultimate scapegoat. He took your sins and nailed them to the cross so that we could live free of sin. Paul adamantly writes in Romans. In Romans chapter 8, he says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." No condemnation. Do you hear that? There is no condemnation. This means that Christ is not accusing you or shaming you. Because the goat has left the building. The goat has left the building. We are not only need to hear this individually, but as a community as well. The church is a place where we are constantly reminded of sin. Yet as I look around in this empty room, I don't see any goats. Every time we bring up sins that are forgiven, we are questioning the ability of the blood of Jesus to wash away that sin. And today I ask you, have you put the blood of Jesus on trial? Does it wash away your sins or not? Too often as Christians, we bring up the past and we use it as a weapon against our brothers and sisters. But let me tell you, forgiveness is a very foundational part of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If the blood of Jesus does not cleanse the other person completely, then it cannot cleanse me completely. It cannot cleanse any of us completely. And if that is the case, then we are all in a lot of trouble. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God for his grace, the grace that he has given to us. Let us remember our first love, to use this moment to get real with God. Maybe there is something, some sin in your life that no one knows about, and it's absolutely killing you. Maybe there's addiction or abuse or something going on. There's bondage that is holding you, and that bondage is sin. Well, God declared in Isaiah 44, verse 22, "I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." In the Psalms, the psalmist wrote this in Psalm 103, starting at verse 8. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sin deserves or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." We call this day Good Friday because of what our good God did for us. This morning, we are not together as a body, at least not physically. We are in our own homes. We are isolated. And those feelings of isolation, they're not forever. One day it will end. Our good God has allowed us to be united with Him this morning because of Good Friday. But we are not quite done today. I want us to finish in just a moment here, and I want us to sing the song Amazing Grace. For it is only by the grace of God that are amazing, and by His amazing grace that we are declared clean. So sing it like you've never sung it before. Sing it loud and with passion. Why? Because the goat has left the building, and today is Good Friday. It's time to click the link.